Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by a Luke bearing gifts.
Owen?
Owen.
Hello, Swab Nation.
Yeah, it's the kind of nickname that's got quotes and it's in the middle of the name.
Kind of how we do patron shout-outs sometimes. Hello, Swab Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
Shane the Hurricane Helms is an example.
Is that what he calls himself now?
I guess he's the Hurricane Shane Helms.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, so...
Oh, how the devil am I?
Yeah, how the devil
I'm
are
not
you?
Doing very well, Luke.
Why is that?
Because... update to Ollie's bike journeys into work. I was about 5 minutes in to my journey, usually 25-minute journey, and I was like, God, this is tough going. I was really panting to get, and it, level ground as well. I was like, I'm really panting. My legs are on fire. I give the back wheel a squeeze. It's completely flat.
Oh, mate.
And I was like, well, this is a bike rental. I'm only trying it out. I've got to get it to work anyway to return it. I'll just press ahead. It took me double the amount of time to cycle in, and I was dripping with sweat because I did the whole thing in second gear. It was like going up a hill for 50 minutes on a bike in my work clothes.
Yeah, there is one thing
I'm wearing your jumper right now
and
because I sweated through
and
my
t-shirt we got from WrestleCrate.
Yeah,
I think you do need to work this out. Because you haven't quite... You cycle to work in what you then wear at work. And all you've done is you kind of just sweat into those clothes. And then you work in those sweaty clothes.
Well, it dries.
Yeah.
I know. That's what this week is about. It's about
it's trial and
figuring
error.
Out. You know, I couldn't see where I was going. I bought a torch. I didn't indicate where I was going to turn off. A cyclist nearly crashed into me. Now I indicate.
Yeah.
I'm learning on the fly.
Sometimes you get a puncture. You need to have a puncture repair kit in case of that happens.
Yeah, if that's how they do it. Spare wheels attached to the bike? I don't know how it works, but I'll research it.
Yeah.
And yes, in there would be some form of...
Change of clothes. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Or you want to start getting Lycra and just cycling in that and then changing into it when you get here. But in reference to what you were talking about at the start of this show. So, one of our pledge hammers, you get to shout out in this episode, part of the $25 and above pledge hammer shout out. Head over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to be part of that. The Condor Christopher Jenkins. Oh, sorry, yes. Infinite Crisis Christopher Jenkins. Do apologize. He got in touch with us because he is from America.
What?
But he came over to London town quite recently for a visit. But sadly... we couldn't arrange to meet up because when he arrived, it was the week we were moving into our new studio.
That was a busy week.
It was the week of Super Showdown. There were lots lots of teething issues in terms of us actually getting into the studio. There were lots of back and forth trips. There was just lots of work on. So we just couldn't make it work, unfortunately.
The paint literally didn't dry in the studio until several hours before we recorded the Super Showdown review.
Absolutely.
We got a bit fumy.
Yeah, and it's still a bit fumy in here at the moment because the smell just gets trapped. But he did bring us some gifts that he wanted to give to
us. That's very kind.
Which is
thank you.
Very, very kind. So it's like, I'm super disappointed we couldn't meet up either. There is still little hope in the future, though. When we visited, I fell in love with everything in the UK, and I've begun the process of transferring my paramedic license to the UK Ooh. Equivalent so I can start working there, hopefully in the next 12 to 18 months. I'll send the gifts that I got for Laurie, Ollie, and yourself just as soon as I finally recover. I just wish I could have seen your faces when you opened them. So what I thought, it's like, I put a lot of thought into these because of how much WrestleTalk means to me personally. I'll let you know when to expect the package. And he's putting some thought into his next crap gimmick suggestion. And so it's now arrived. It arrived today.
That's very sweet of him.
He sent me a follow-up email to say, I put all your gifts in the mail. They should arrive Tuesday, but I'll monitor them with the tracking number given. It's crazy to think how they've travelled over 20,000 miles on their way to you. I was bored yesterday and Googled the Earth's circumference. So we've got the package here.
That's a big life change, uprooting to the UK.
Mm-hmm. So, do you want to partly open this? I mean, okay. I partly opened it in the office.
Okay. This is an unboxing with no visual element to it, so I hope you... Well, that is, you have, well, good job for wrapping that up tight.
That was Andy Danson's okay, so what have we got here? Oh, they're individual!
You've got a bag for Luke.
It's a bag for me. Ah, and he said there's a nice email as well. I'll quickly...
There's a bag for Laurie. Should we save that for Laurie, or should we open that for him? And then... No, you can do it tomorrow.
We'll do it tomorrow.
Uh-oh, and Ollie gets the best-looking one.
He does. You got what is that? It's like a captain bag.
It says, this captain don't give a ship.
Nice.
So with a picture of a captain. Because so I'm the WrestleTalk captain.
You are indeed. To the entire WrestleTalk crew, hey guys, if you would, please allow me to put WrestleTalk over for a moment. I wanted to tell you all something that you might not think about every day, but it's a sentiment I hope you will think about with the appreciation and pride in the future. Just like countless people all over the world, I have stressful days at work. To the vast majority of people, this means something like deadlines weren't met, you were late to work, or had to deal with a particularly mean person. I've been a paramedic for almost 8 years now, and it has been a privilege to treat and comfort sick and injured people of all ages, usually on the worst days of their lives. I absolutely love what I do, love in capital letters. I help put people back together again, both figuratively and literally, after a tragedy, but my profession has a dark side. We sometimes see things that are impossible to unsee. Most days are fairly low stress, but when work gets stressful, I turn to three healthy outlets: woodworking, postscript below, watching professional wrestling, and WrestleTalk. There have been many times where I had a large, tight ball of stress in my chest after a horrible shift, and I hate bringing that energy home to my family. So I will listen to you guys make jokes, be silly, and talk about wrestling on my commute home. By the time I get home, that ball of stress is either gone or just small enough for me to drop on the front door and walk in the house virtually stress-free. To me, that's priceless, and I bet there's thousands of people all over the world, like me, that would say the same thing to you if they had the chance. You guys help us forget whatever negative things we're dealing with for a little while by laughing, telling jokes, and talking about an industry we all love. And so please accept these awesome wrestling t-shirts from me and the rest of the SWAF nation that feels the same way. Wear them with pride, knowing you truly help make the world a better place. Also, the trading cards and DVDs are for you all to share. You deserve it. Clap, 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 clap. P.S. In my spare time, I've been working on building a pair of WrestleTalk-themed Bludgeon Brother hammers.
Oh my god!
Maybe with Luke and Ollie's names in Viking font on the handles. I've no idea what you would use them for creatively, though. What about a short-lived fantasy booking warfare prize or trophy? Oh, and some of that as a trophy, mate.
Mate, we should have the new set debuting next week. That is the perfect item to be in the background.
Any suggestions would be helpful and appreciated. Thank you so much for that letter, Chris. That's really, really heartwarming to me, and I'm glad that we can help out with our doofy little show.
Chris, we might actually frame that letter and put it up, because that is very nice.
We were looking for things to put up in our new office.
Christopher Jenkins, I think, might have to have Dan's real... Well, Dan can still be the real Dan's Dan,
mm-hmm.
but maybe Chris Jenkins should be the real man's man.
He is the real man.
He likes
man.
Wrestling. Yep. He likes saving lives
yep.
and woodworking. What the heckins?
He's literally Ron Swanson.
Yes. This is a level of masculinity which we are... nowhere near. But we will live vicariously through you, Jenkins.
Absolutely.
Plus, whenever I see or hear your last name, I do think Leroy Jenkins.
Man, speaking of old references,
if you don't know what I'm talking about, just search Leroy Jenkins.
If you don't know what we're talking about,
best video. That's my thing. If I've got a big ball of stress, I watched that video.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you're far too young, and we are far too old. But I'm going to open up mine, my gift now.
It's good that there's T-shirts involved, because this is a day where I need it.
Absolutely, and you are currently wearing one of my T-shirts. Oh, and there's a letter in each of them as well.
Oh, my word. Bit of overkill on the letters.
I was just going to know what I can read this out. Luke, the first week of October was an impossible month to meet a fan, but you tried very hard anyways. You're the best. Throughout your time on Wrestle Talk, you've been one of my old school... you've been my old school buddy, remembering the 80s and 90s fondly as a fun and magical time before the complications of adulthood set in. I wanted to get you two wrestling-themed shirts that reflect this sentiment. Hope you like them. And it's and if you don't... but maybe they can go up on the T-shirt wall 2.0 if you make one. Thanks. I had to guess on the shirt sizes, but there's a pretty good chance the only way the green shirt, which I can't wear on the TV, unfortunately, is going to fit, is if you hop in the DeLorean, fire up the flux capacitor, and find your 10-year-old self to give it to him. Good luck.
That was pop culture referenced heavy.
That was. Well, this is the green T-shirt.
Wait, actually, what's on the Wrestle Ramble?
It's slightly darker, to be honest.
You cannot wear that on a green
screen. Look at that. It's a Sergeant Slaughter T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
With the Cobra logo, because it's a Cobra Clutch Challenge.
That is a tasteful T-shirt.
That is a tasteful wrestling T-shirt.
Wrestling T-shirts can sometimes be a bit busy. But
yes.
That looks just like a normal, nice design.
And let's see, size-wise, it's a large. I'm a medium, but I might be able to
grow into it.
I'll grow into it.
That's what my mum still says to me.
And I've got a second T-shirt here. He's a man who knows his audience, because I bloody love a T-shirt. Let's have a look at this one that we've got here.
Heenan School of Broadcasting Journalism.
Oh, very nice.
That's apt.
That is apt, because it's even got the headset that we wear on these shows.
That we'll likely be getting rid of soon.
Yes. Oh, that's a nice reminder of the old times. Thank you so much for those T-shirts. And I've also got a little DVD.
Oh, God, this is so... Thank you very much for this, Chris.
Crikey, the classic superstars of wrestling, Steve Austin and Cactus Jack, the early years.
What, so that's before WWE? Because this isn't WWE, this is Delta DVD releases.
Yeah. Steve Austin, he rose to the top of success. This is matches like Steve Austin versus The Punisher, The Medicine Man, and Eight. Like, this is like all stuff that you, like, really, like, off the beaten path stuff. Like Cactus Jack matches that you probably have never seen before.
So this is stuff that WWE presumably don't own the rights to.
I would imagine
that's fascinating.
Yeah. God, Cactus Jack versus Terry Gordy. Cactus Jack and Sheik Braddock versus Jeff Jarrett and Matt Bourne. Wow. Matt Bourne, obviously, was the original Doink. And there's also some trading card stuff in here. The WWE Heritage 2018, nice. The 2016 trading card set, and a different 2016 trading card set.
We can put those up around the office.
Yes.
Just like, yeah.
That's just a bit of Foley work.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That is excellent. That's so thoughtful. Thank you so much for that. I bet your letter's not as good as mine.
Okay. Oh, Captain, my Captain. I've been watching Wrestle... See, Poetry Corner.
Yeah.
I've been watching Wrestle Talk since it was just you in front of the camera. Honestly, back then, I didn't even know that UK and Japanese wrestling existed until you talked about them. You expanded my wrestling horizons for the better, and my gift for you reflects that. Keep up the excellent work and try not to be so hard on yourself. Wrestle Talk is a brand that more and more fans love every day. Love to buy you and the guys a beer next time I'm in town. Get ready for the most British wrestling shirt ever and the most Japanese wrestling shirt ever. Thanks again, Infinite Crisis Chris Jenkins.
Oh, wow. Oh, exciting.
Well, this is...
Oh, wow. Well, it's got a big British flag on it.
That's busy. It's a Will Ospreay T-shirt.
Oh, lovely.
With a Union... What is that? What's that flag?
Union Jack.
Incorrect. It's a Union flag. It's only the Union Jack, folks, when it's flown at sea. That is cool.
You can tell your dad's a Daily Mail reader.
And thank you very much for that. And where's the most Japanese wrestling shirt ever? It's a Marty Skrull Villain Club T-shirt. Oh, my God. It's more than that. It's Marty Skrull.
Oh, wrestling Godzilla.
He's got a chicken wing locked in Godzilla. And it says, long live the villain, king of the chicken wing.
That is an excellent T-shirt.
Oh, my God. I don't really like the Will Ospreay one, but that you can hear the difference in voice that I really do like this one. That's a great choice.
And this is really interesting as well, because you and I had this conversation quite recently off mic, that you got rid of all of your wrestling t-shirts recently.
Because they're too old and they retain my scent. No matter how much I wash them, they still smell a bit. And like my girlfriend said, you know, that's really when you should call it a day. And I'm like, but they're some of my favourite t-shirts. The armbar one has been with me since Progress Chapter 3, mm-hmm. which I imagine is 2011, 2012. So yeah. Shouldn't really have t-shirts that are 6 years old.
Oh, but I've got t-shirts that I had when I was at university that, yeah. and I graduated like 12 years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you so much for that.
That's so very kind of you.
I've got some more
Bits and pieces in there.
Let's see. I've got a DVD too. It's like our own little wrestle crates. Mm. This is Slaughter into FMW. Oh my God. Hardcore wrestling made in Japan. Slaughterhouse. FMW versus ECW. Witness the massacre. If I'm correct, FMW were the promotion that had like the
C4 the fiery explosion
C4.
Matches.
Oh, Jesus, this is going to be gruesome. Look, the deadliest hardcore wrestlers in the world. Sabu, Mike Awesome, Terry Funk, Sandman, Dudley Boys, One Man Gang, John Cronus, Tommy Dreamer. Okay, there's no commas there. Tajiri, Super Crazy, Tanaka.
Yes.
Ghetto and Jado.
Oh, wow.
With ECW's Paul Heyman setting the table. There's a couple of three-way dances, FMW Japan style, with Bubba Ray Dudley versus Sandman versus Terry Funk, and Kanemura versus One Man Gang versus Sabu, and then some six-man tags, which is Terry Funk, Tommy Dreamer, and Sandman taking on Mike Gladiator, Mr. Ganosuke, and Kanemura. God, Kanemura wrestled a lot on this show. Bonus matches, Sabu, Rob Van Dam versus Dudley Boys. This is going to be obscene.
Yeah. That sounds like it'd be a great Patreon podcast for us to do.
Yeah, well, I wonder what month it was. This came out in 2001, this DVD. Oh, that's great.
Can I have a look?
Sure.
Thanks, man.
And then I also got some trading.
Warning,
cards.
This is the uncensored version. Extra footage too graphic for the censors. Watch at your own risk.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so I got some cool trading cards too. Just shaking the bag in case there's money in there. There isn't, that's fine. We've went pretty long on the intro, thanks to Jenkins.
Oh, so nice, though. Thank you very much.
Honestly.
We have gone long. We're going to dive into the actual main show now, the reason you've all tuned into this. We're going to be talking about the segment with Rusev and Aiden English and how they've sort of just blundered that storyline into nothing. Here's the show.
This whole... this started almost exactly a year ago, a year and a couple of weeks, where... Rusev brought down Aiden English off the back of Rusev's feud with Randy Orton, where Rusev was beaten in seconds at SummerSlam, and then he kind of got his win back and everyone was flattened out to nothing in the usual style of WWE booking. And Aiden comes down and it's like the mayor of Rusev's...
Blogdiv, I believe it's called.
Plovdiv. His hometown, don't know if it's real... or if it's a made-up one, but Rusev is actually Bulgarian.
I did not do geography at GCSE, so I don't know.
Even people who did do geography, I think, would have a hard time knowing all of the towns in Eastern European countries.
My wife studied geography at university, and I don't think she would know either. She did, yeah. Human geography.
Human geography? Mm. What, like... That's a mountain range.
It's in like, it's I think it's like to do with like populations and like how populations are managed and things like that.
Huh. Well, Aiden English comes out and in honor of the mayor declaring this day Rusev Day, Aiden sings an original composition that was in no way based on Randy Orton's entrance music called Rusev Day. And that got over to a ridiculous degree. Top-selling piece of merchandise on WWE.com. Like, anyone could see this was popular. Everyone
Absolutely.
Loved it. The t-shirts were going crazy.
Calendar.
And then, yeah, but they underbought the calendar. Do you remember this report?
I do. And they, in fact, not only did they under-prepare for how many calendars they were going to sell, they were really poor quality because they didn't want to spend any money on this because they all thought, this isn't going to sell. So apparently even the bleed lines weren't right on the calendars. Wow. They were like really, really badly made.
So we all, like, WWE completely missed how organically over Rusev Day had gotten. Or maybe they didn't miss it and they just kind of did that weird WWE, we resent it when you get over by yourself. We only like it when people we want to get over, like Charlotte. Yeah. Yes. I was going to say Roman Reigns then, but I forgot.
Yeah.
So this, like, they never really get that push or that run that Rusev Day deserved. No tag team title run when there was a perfect opportunity to do it just before, I believe, Fastlane in February.
And it was last year. We had this chat last time.
Really?
And you said it was earlier this year, and it was last year.
Oh, it was last year. My mistake. And then it comes to about a month ago, after Hell in a Cell. It was the night after Hell in... Well, the SmackDown after Hell in a Cell. Aiden turns on Rusev and you have this breakup and we're all like, well, you know, Rusev Day deserved a lot more, but at least we're getting a cool angle to come out of it. And it was like, it was really engaging soap opera stuff there for 3 weeks.
2 weeks.
Was it only 2 weeks?
More, it felt like it was. Yeah, because he did, like, he announced there was going to be one night in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, maybe it was 3 weeks. He announced there was one night in Milwaukee. Then he showed the first part of it. And then by the second part of it, he'd already been scuppered.
Yes, okay.
We said it really felt like they cut this angle short. Little did we know they were going to cut it even shorter with tonight's show.
So this was all, it was Aiden English alluding that he'd had intimate relations with Rusev's wife, Lana. Mm. But really, it was all because Aiden was jealous of Lana. Lana came in, broke up the broskies. She, like, in his mind, she yoko'd it, to use a term.
To use an outdated term.
But so this was hot. This was a hot angle, I thought. It was one of the most talked about things. People were theorizing that The Rock could get involved because of a promo he did a couple of years ago about teaching Lana the Milwaukee Shuffle or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. And it's just ended on this episode. And even if they extend it out and have another match or another match and they build to a 15th blow-off match at Survivor Series, really, this feud has ended. Because we've seen Rusev and Lana get their receipt on Aiden.
Yeah, so in the show, just randomly out of nowhere with no build whatsoever, Rusev and Aiden English had a match on this random episode of SmackDown, and it was over in, what, a minute, maybe? Mm. A minute might be...
It was very short.
Minute might be generous. Essentially, Lana just threw a shoe at Aiden English, then Rusev hit the Machka kick.
Who throws a shoe? Conan.
Sorry?
Conan.
You're like Laurie when he says it. Conan.
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 It is Conan. My Conan.
Yeah, my Conan. Sorry, that was my mistake. You say it correctly.
Two Nans together. One's the Conan.
Conan. Lana throws a shoe. Rusev hits the Machka kick, locks in the accolade. English taps out immediately. And that's it. And I thought to myself, well, that's surely that it's over then, really, because we've seen the hero vanquish the villain. Like, if you were watching a Spider-Man movie, and at the end of the first act, Spider-Man beats the Green Goblin and saves the day. Like, are you then going to be intrigued to see what the Green Goblin does next?
I guess in WWE's mind, Rusev actually only beat Shocker. And now Shocker's going to go and team up with the Green Goblin or Doc Ock or a bigger rogue. Yeah. A member of the Rogues Gallery.
So I theorized slightly on the review of this show.
Your notes are a sentence long.
Oh yeah, it literally is. It's like,
yeah. I mean, mine's not much better. It was such a short.
Nothing to say.
It was, yeah. From what was one of the most intriguing storylines in WWE, it felt like they wanted to be rid of it quickly.
Well, it's weird because you and I were saying probably like last week or maybe the week before, I can't see where they're going to do this match because they haven't got like a big show they can do this on until Survivor Series, which isn't until the middle of November. So you've got to try and like artificially extend out this feud until you can get to that pay-per-view. As I said, little did I know they were just going to randomly do an episode of SmackDown in a one-minute match. But as I said, I theorized on the SmackDown review of this show, in the four-minute review, that maybe English is going to find a new guy to sing songs about.
Yes.
And he'll create a new day. Not the new day, but he'll create a new day that can rival Rusev Day. And he'll then say, like, this new day is way more popular than Rusev Day.
So the Rusev Day feud would actually be Aiden would always be a manager type role.
Yes.
Which is a shame because they were a tag team act.
Yeah.
That is the real shame in all this because Rusev will mostly be fine. I can't, like, I've given up on WWE having faith in him or giving him an actual push. It's just stop, start. But he's like, you know, he's like Dolph Ziggler. He's slotted in at that level. Mm-hmm. He'll be safe until he has enough and leaves.
Yeah.
But Aiden English is a guy who's already lost one tag team partner. Remember, he was part of the Vaude Villains with Simon Gotch. And that act broke up last year. And then he was put in as just a side piece for Rusev that actually got over by itself. And Aiden English is very good. Like, he's a really good performer. He's a perfectly fine wrestler. But it's just like his acting, his facials, his delivery, his singing.
Yes.
Like, these are all really good things that shouldn't be wasted. He could be SmackDown's Elias.
He really could be, and I don't think they're using this. They're not using him to his full potential. But really, like, the real horror of all of this is that they took an angle that could have really caught some fire, and actually did have some fire, because when Aiden was doing those One Night in Milwaukee, when he first made that Milwaukee promo, the crowd were reacting to it and people were getting into the soap opera aspect of it. So it just seems ridiculous now that they've just ended it with Rusev winning. And I know there are going to be people who will be like, oh, they'll just have another match. But, like, why would you care about another match at this point? Because we've seen the good guy win.
Not even just the good guy, but Lana got the slap in as well. Yeah. Like, that was the...
They won.
Like, if Aiden lost but did something nefarious to Lana, or maybe Rusev bumped into... Like, that would have been the perfect way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lana's shouting at Aiden on the apron, he's shouting back, but then he moves out the way, Rusev bumps her off the apron, and then Aiden steals a roll-up victory. I mean, I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have kept them apart for a lot longer until they have a proper blood feud clash. I would have put Aiden with Andrade. Have Andrade, like, sing Andrade's stuff as he comes out, and then Vega can take on Lana at Evolution. I don't know.
Well, that's what I was just loading up, if anyone was wondering why I was looking at my laptop so intently. I was trying to work, like, if Aiden is going to find a new guy, like, who would it be?
Chuck him in with the Big Show in the Bar. Well, Everyone else is.
Well, I was going to say, my first thought was, like, well, Cesaro. Cesaro Day. But then, but you can't do that because they're in a new faction, Shomaro. So... I don't really know who else there could be.
Yeah, in terms of heels. Hey, Samoa Joe's.
Well, I was going to say, you don't
want
to do Joe, do you? Because, like, otherwise, that turns Joe into a comedy act. And that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, not at this stage
Joe.
In his
Absolutely
career.
Not.
Although there is great value, I think, in Aiden skipping around a big Samoa Joe, kind of like the Martin Prince and Nelson thing people describe Sammy and Kevin.
The only other person I could suggest would be Shinsuke Nakamura. And at least then Rusev is into... And actually, at least then Shinsuke Nakamura gets a storyline, which he hasn't had since he won the belt. And it gets the United States Championship back into a storyline. And it gives Rusev sort of like a title picture that he can slot himself into.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are some benefits to it.
I think nationalistic storylines are played out. However, I think Aiden's siding with Nakamura because Nakamura is a true American.
Yes.
Against this dirty immigrant Rusev.
Yeah.
That could be quite a good feud.
You release a Nakamura Day t-shirt in the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
With, like, the Star Spangled Banner and things like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, overall, like, I can't see Aiden doing anything. I think he's going to fade into that Ty Dillinger slot now and just Thanos away from our screens, unfortunately. Oh, she's very good.
Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Bakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and our A's.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I don't.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestler-long screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a pew! He's got a pew!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestler-long screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
I gave up Wall Street for... Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
$25 a month or more, Pledge Hammers, you get a shout out on this very show. So thank you, Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
Yes!
Yes!
Chris Jenkins has sent us a package in the mail, which we're going to be opening up on the podcast version of this show.
You brought it with you?
I need to go back to the office to grab it. But we're going to be opening that up. So thank you very much, Infinite Crisis. I want to be like you, Chris Louis. Yes.
Yes. Thanks, Chris Louis.
Lovely stuff.
Christopher the Condor Johnson.
Oh, what a condor.
Or the Condor. Condor the Chris Johnson, we should probably rename him as.
Let's have a drink. Let's have a drink, Christopher Trevis, merry man. Yes, drink.
He's a merry man.
Like, such a merry man.
Courtney Villainous Havoc Summers, we're just gonna wish you a happy birthday
again.
Every episode.
Yes, let's definitely every day is Courtney Day.
Yes, but actually only once a month when we do the shout outs. But happy birthday.
Happy
still.
Birthday, Courtney. Who's next? Well, of course, it's the mayor of Painesville, the bridesmaid, but never the bride, a real Dan's Dan, Dan. Yes, with
well
all
done,
the
Dan.
Nicknames.
Rob Pontin Problems, Pontin.
Yes, woo! Pontin. Welcome back,
nice
by the
work.
Way. Welcome back. Dead the Pool Warrior. Yes.
Oh, I thought there was a last name.
No, no.
That's cool.
Dead the Pool Warrior.
Dot, 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 dive, Dylan Cachetta.
Yes.
Whoa, come on, Dylan. I love that Randy Orton meme.
With a nice old reference. And they drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Woo!
Yes, Rambo references, speaking of old things.
Let's get on with the SmackDown review. What a different opening this was from Raw. Like, Raw is... Raw... This week's Raw had one of the most emotionally devastating wrestling segment I've ever seen. I still cannot get over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. And I had that in my head when this episode started.
Yeah.
And it's nothing on the New Day, but when they walk out like being happy and everything, I'm just like, I'm not in the mood. Plus, you just lost your titles last week due to nefarious means.
Yes, with the
Big
Show.
Be a bit grumpy.
Which is what they were talking about in their opening promo, is that they said the bar, don't set the bar, they lowered the bar.
That was a good line.
And Big E said that Big Show, they should call him the bartender, and he flips back and forth more than a flapjack.
Mm. So although they talked as though they were angry, like the content of the script was angry, I did not get that from them. I would like to see them just come out and be annoyed.
Yes.
Just walk down. Or at least one of them's annoyed.
Well, they've got their guaranteed title shot. They're having their rematch at Crown Jewel, so they don't need to be angry about
that's
it because
to be happy about.
Because they're getting their title rematch.
Well, it's quite a unique title rematch in that there's an extra guy in there. So it's a six-man tag, right?
No, it's just a tag team match.
I could swear it was a six-man tag with the titles on the line.
Well, that might be what they say, but it's advertised on the website as just the Bar versus New Day.
But the graphic have Big Show in the...
Well, the graphic on the website only has the Bar.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe I understood that wrong.
Or maybe I misunderstood it.
Yeah, or maybe WWE are just... We just don't know what's happening with Crown Jewel. It could have been called off by now. We should have put that as the disclaimer.
Yes. We don't know. At the time of this recording, Crown Jewel is still going ahead. We have got our website writer, Andy Datson, going to message us if anything changes on that, on this pre-recorded show that you're seeing many hours later. So that things might have changed.
Yeah, my news has got stuff about it. Everything could be dated,
yeah.
Annoyingly. God, again, no one thinks about us in this whole big controversy. What about the poor WrestleTalk guys who have to make videos?
I know, right? But anyway,
it's so long you can turn those things around.
So Show Maro came out, and they this
with,
led to...
sorry with now three pieces of entrance music. So Cesaro's then you get Sheamus's dang dang, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both do the bar point in the middle. Well, and out comes Big Show. Too many music changes.
This led to Kofi Kingston versus Big Show.
You've got nothing to say on that.
It doesn't really bother me, to be honest. Entrances just wash over me in this company.
It's just because my problem with the bar is that that's the last thing they haven't merged together. Everything else, like movesets, gear, name, all coherent. Why not make them one entrance music piece?
Well, that is their entrance music.
It's a mishmash of Cesaro and...
No, it's the start of Cesaro's and all of Sheamus's.
I don't buy it.
But this led to a match between Kofi Kingston and The Big Show. It wasn't really a match, though, because Big Show just beat up Kofi a lot, chokeslammed him several times over, and then a brawl broke out, and Shomaro stood tall. I mean, if you can't tell by my tone, or if you haven't watched my 4-minute review, I wasn't that keen on this episode of SmackDown Live.
It was rubbish.
It was rubbish.
The crowd were very quiet as well. When Big Show was, chokeslam, and I like a Big Show chokeslam,
mm-hmm.
but the crowd were dead. And this is, it looked brutal. Just picking him up, Kofi ragdolling him down again and again and again. But the crowd was silent.
Well, I mean, they were... Certainly more quiet during the main event.
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't really much of an opening segment, but yeah, they're having a match at Crown Jewel next Friday, if that show is still happening. We then got a video package for Roman Reigns. Heartbreaking stuff to watch at 5:30 in the morning.
There was an ooh-ah chant from the crowd afterwards, which...
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I felt... this way about him when he was wrestling, I wish the baby face thing worked now, but it didn't.
Have you seen?
I would have loved to have. actually chanted Uwar and meant it.
Have you seen all the conspiracy theories coming out now? I saw them in the comments yesterday. Like, when the videos first went up, you had a lot of people coming in to be like, thank you, Roman. Was never a fan of his character, but this is awful. The basic sort of thing that we were saying on our videos. Then when I checked the comments this morning, it was all like, it's all a work. This is just like, they'll do anything to get Roman over. So either these are people who are just doing it to troll. But do you see Scott Hudson, former WCW commentator Scott Hudson, is adamant it's a work. Like, he is 100% convinced that it's not real.
You know what? I hope it's a work. I hope someone doesn't have leukemia. Unfortunately, I don't even think WWE are that depraved to fake something like that.
Yeah. Next up, we got the Usos taking on AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, a rematch from last week.
Oh, that's lazy.
Weird, if you want to talk about lazy, the exact same finish, which was malfunction at the junction, and the Usos picked up the win.
I mean, what can you say? This is just, it's just copy and paste.
Well, this is Control C, Control V.
And this is like, we said it, at the start of the wrestling year, so April, and you had the Superstar Shake-Up, and you had on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe. When those four start to pair off and feud against each other, we're like, this is going to be amazing. Like, this is going to be a golden age, like the new SmackDown 6 era. The work rate's going to be phenomenal. But Samoa Joe and AJ is, you know, largely... It was okay in parts, but it was nowhere near as good as it should have been.
It was incoherent.
Yes, same with AJ and Nakamura. And now with AJ and Bryan, like, this... This is a few. This is an open goal, and they are just booting it over the crossbar every time.
And made worse when these two cut a promo backstage, and Daniel Bryan starts calling him Pinocchio. So, like, no reaction whatsoever, because why would you react to your number one contender to the WWE Championship using childish insults like Pinocchio? Oh, your nose is growing because I don't think you're telling the truth. It's really bad.
Yeah, Brian's heart didn't seem to be in these
Absolutely
lines.
Absolutely not. Why would it be?
So the AJ and Brian work together off the bat. Then the Usos come back. The Usos, actually, say the finish first. It was the same finish, but it was reversed. Yeah. So AJ goes for the phenomenal forearm, but he nearly hits Brian. They both stop. Usos get in between them, so AJ does a Pele kick, but that one hits Brian, and then an Uso splash on AJ for the win. Did you see the Uso splash, what he did in midair?
I did not.
He cocked the fist.
Oh, did he really? Very
in
nice.
Honor of his real life cousin Roman
Very
Reigns.
Nice.
But then, yeah, they just stared at each other afterwards, looking a bit grumpy, AJ and Brian. Lame. That is just such a lame way to build that, like, to tell this story. And then afterwards, it's Dasha who interviews AJ and Brian, and they said, was that an accident? And AJ goes, of course it was an accident. Of course it was. Just like last week's was, when Brian hit me. And Brian goes, yeah, last week's was an accident, but, you know, was this week's was an accident too. Yeah. And then that's where the tension came, and it was just like, it was just nothing. It was so uninspired.
It was nothing, but I felt this whole show, like, it almost felt like it was an autopilot.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it was a week where they thought, well, we'll do all of our build for Crown Jewel next week. So we don't really... Because maybe we don't know if the show's going ahead. So let's just put a show on. In that case, then, I mean, granted, you shot yourself in the foot slightly. Evolution is this Sunday. Put more focus on that.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
You know that show is happening. Evolution, this is the go-home show for Evolution. You could be easily forgiven for forgetting that. There was two segments on this show that were dedicated to that because, as we said yesterday, SmackDown only has one storyline going into that show. A show that has seven matches, there is one storyline on SmackDown going into it. That is an absolute travesty.
Mm.
Which brings us to, there's a nice little segue, I guess, we've got a recap of the altercation at the Performance Center that happened over the weekend. WWE reported on this, WWE.com reported on this. So Charlotte was giving this sort of horribly scripted speech about Evolution.
It was awkward.
I don't know, it was just some pandering nonsense about following your dreams or some crap. And
she did not sound genuine.
Well, no, and the people who were standing there were looking at her. I was like, you're not believing anything you're saying because we've already seen the script. We know what's going to happen.
Like, why not just say, go on, Charlotte, do a seminar like you usually would and make it feel real? Oh, This was rubbish.
And then she took a Q&A, like it was a book signing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were nice some plants in there to ask questions. Oh, I've got a question. And then one of the competitors of the Mae Young Classic asked a question. But that was when Becky Lynch came in. And it was at this point, I was like, Shayna Baszler's there.
Was she?
I saw Shayna, and Marina Shafir was there. But more importantly, Shayna Baszler was there. And I thought to myself, she's on the Evolution card.
Wow.
She has
They've
a match.
They've done nothing for that, have they?
That, exactly, and that's my point. You'd have thought, if you're trying to hype up people for this show, not everyone's watching NXT. So why didn't you have Shayna Baszler come out for like a featured match on Raw or SmackDown, or Kairi Sane come out for a featured match? But aside from just saying they are having a match on commentary, they've done nothing on either Raw or SmackDown to build this, which is exemplified here when you've got Shayna Baszler standing there, no one makes any mention that she has a match at Evolution. Like,
oh yeah,
and Shayna Baszler's character, like, why is she there? Because if Charlotte's standing there being like, Evolution's this great show for all of us, and Shayna Baszler should be like, yeah, and I'm there, and I'm going to win, because I'm the best.
Yeah.
It was so... It's really bad for her to have been in that position.
Yeah, the main roster really does not care about what's going
on in NXT.
Yeah, but just think, like, okay, you've got two performers, Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler, who are in Evolution. Most of the main roster audience is not going to know who these people are at all. A very small amount of people actually watch NXT compared to Raw and SmackDown. So I would have Shayna Baszler do an exhibition match against someone on Raw.
Absolutely.
And hey, Kairi Sane against Asuka as a huge exhibition match on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And you do a finish that protects everyone. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's when you have all the women run down and thrown over the top rope nonsense.
Yeah.
But this was... I mean, I saw Mia Yim in there, talking of other show spot, like people spotting. Of course, she was Jade in TNA and Chelsea Green, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I didn't spot Chelsea Green.
She might have not been Chelsea Green, because Chelsea, she's got like dark hair now, which makes her look like a lot of different people. The blonde hair was usually an identifier. But yeah, Becky walks in. Much better than Charlotte.
Oh, so much better
than Charlotte. She sounds like a real person. She's...
And yeah, she comes in and essentially says, never make friends on the main roster because they'll just stab you in the back. And then a brawl broke out between Becky and Charlotte and they had to sort of pull apart thing.
I like the idea.
Yes, the idea was absolutely fine. Problem was, this is the go-home show. This is not a go-home angle for this feud. Like,
this is a week two or three thing, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. You could have done something there.
But
about Shayna Baszler there.
Yeah, and Charlotte's performance was bad. But it's very Triple H. This was a very Triple H NXT way of building a feud.
Yeah, and then Charlotte cut another awfully scripted promo backstage where she said that, like, of all the things Becky has done, what you did at the NXT Performance Center was disrespectful. That's where we made ourselves. And I was like, you don't sound like you believe this at all.
And like, we don't care about it. You sound like a dork, Charlotte. Becky's so much cooler than you. Of course we're going to root for her over teacher's pet Charlotte.
And apparently, the story is, so the rumoured WrestleMania main event for next year was like, since day dot of Ronda Rousey coming to this company, was Flair versus Rousey. Like the big, it's our two biggest like female stars on the roster and they're going to collide in the main event of WrestleMania. Word is now that match might be off the cards because of the way that Charlotte has been booked in this feud. Because she's now so cold off the back of this Becky Lynch feud that... they might have to pull that match and think of something different to do. And like, you've really got only yourselves to blame in that, because it's not Charlotte's fault that you've booked her to be this absolute dork. It's your fault.
Yeah.
Really is a shame.
Yeah, a dork against someone who's so much cooler. Yeah. Maybe this act could work against, I don't know, the Iconics.
Carmella.
Yeah, Carmella. That worked great, didn't it?
Yeah, sorry.
The other thing is, as bad, not as bad as this segment was, but as out of place as this segment was. So this should have been week two or three in the build. This should have been, like, they should have got the main event.
Absolutely.
They should have had a better angle, and Becky and Charlotte should have been in the go-home main event angle heading into Evolution. I have, like, WWE has no excuse for why that's the case, why that wasn't the case.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Because what we got was Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, with nothing on the line and no interest whatsoever.
It was the most pedestrian match.
Oh, my God.
Well, we'll get to that. But anyway, yeah, I thought this segment was Yeah, I thought it was fine, just in the wrong place in terms of this build. And I thought it was, yeah, I thought it made Shayna Baszler look a bit stupid. And no, the fact that Charlotte's there going like, and you can totally carry your characters over into the main roster. And I was like, apparently not, mate, because she's not even allowed to have her character here. And she's in NXT.
Yeah. We should, just to double down on this, Charlotte's to camera promo was terrible.
I thought Kurt Angle would have the worst promo of the week, but man, Charlotte's always there to steal that spotlight.
It was really bad.
Yeah. We then got the Rusev and Aiden English stuff. Then we got Miz TV with Rey Mysterio. And I'll be honest, at the end of this segment, I can't tell you what they talked about.
I thought this was probably the best. I mean, it's damning with faint praise. I thought this was the best segment on the show.
I thought the match was good.
Yes.
But I thought the actual talking segment, I can't tell you what they actually spoke about.
Well, it was actually, I liked it. So Miz comes out, the crowd initially sounds so, like, they are quiet. When Miz goes, "Welcome to Miz TV," you could hear the individual voices. That's how sparse the crowd was here. But Miz frames it, it's all about the Crown Jewel World Cup, because Miz and Mysterio are both in that. Brings down Rey for the interview, and he says it's not the 90s anymore. People aren't into underdog Rey. They're into A-listers like the Miz, larger-than-life characters like the Miz. And he kept repeating it. And that got the crowd, crowd started to boo and get into this.
Oh, okay.
Like, Miz, like, I thought Miz's performance here was John Cena levels of getting a crowd to wake up and care about something in the ring.
He was very good in which, like, because Rey didn't really have a lot to say, but he did stand up and was like, "I'm not here to talk on your dusty show. I'm here to have a fight." Mm. And the crowd got into a bit of a yes chant. And Miz, because he's so good at this, was just like, "This audience doesn't want to see a wrestling match between
us." He's playing them.
Playing them like a fiddle. He's very, very good at doing that, manipulating the audience.
And the reason that Rey probably got that pop was off the back of all the heat that Miz was getting. It's that heat transference. Heat transference. Rey also had a nice line where he says, "I was booked for Truth TV."
Yeah.
It's not a format anymore. But yeah, like, he says he wants to fight. Miz says, "I'm not going to do it." But then he attacks him, and it turns into Miz versus Rey.
I thought this was actually a really decent match.
Yeah, I like Rey.
I like Rey.
If you told me this 5 years ago, you're going to be into Rey Mysterio on in WWE.
I know, right?
I'd have been like, "Shut up. I hate him. I'm sick of him. I just want him to go away." But he's just...
It's really nice to have him back. Yeah. I think he's had a terrific 2018. Mm. But I'm really, really glad to see him back in this. And he can take what is a fairly mundane match of Miz versus Rey Mysterio. Like, they even put this over on commentary. It's like, it's been 6 years since these two last had a match on WWE. And I thought, crikey, we're not moving forward, are we?
Can't wait for that Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton main event.
I know. But I thought this was actually a fun little match. And I thought there was a lot of reversals, a lot of counters and stuff
Ray's
like that.
Rey's counters were really good.
Really, really good. And Rey eventually hit the 619. They built it up so Rey couldn't hit the 619 throughout the match. And then he finally got it, dropped the dime for the win. I thought it was a fun little match.
Yeah, that the crowd were into, because I really think it's down to Miz there.
Yeah.
Just one question. Rey's very, very visually impressive baseball, like, prone baseball slide.
Yeah, the penguin splash.
The penguins. How does that not burn his torso?
Because he's made of iron.
Or, like, he's just lubricated.
Or he's just very lubricated.
Like, when that ring canvases have a bit of friction to them.
Yeah.
When you slide out at that speed.
Mate.
I don't know how he's doing it.
It's impressive.
Is it just all on his dick? He's just got, like, he's just tense in his buttocks, pushing forward.
Yeah.
And those, like, leathery pants.
Yeah, that's what it all is. It's all in the slide on the pants, I guess.
So it's
really,
his body isn't actually touching it. It's all the pelvis reason.
Maybe that's what it is, yeah. I thought it was a fun little segment. Although it does, and this kind of plays into the main event as well, of, like, this World Cup to determine the best in the world. Two people in that World Cup have already lost their matches to people who are in that tournament. Yeah. So we're sort of already deciding who the best in the world is before we even get there.
So it's a tournament, is it?
Yes, they do keep saying it's a one-night tournament.
Okay. I don't know why that doesn't go in my head.
Because, like, if Miz beats Mysterio at the World Cup, like, does that negate Rey's win here? Because surely Rey's already proven that he's better than Miz.
It's all about on the night, mate.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of on the night, this is a terrible segue. Naomi and
There's
Asuka.
No speaking of that at all.
Oh, no. Naomi and Asuka was set to face absolution of Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. But before the match could even start, the Iconics came out and cut a very short promo. They are, I love the Iconics, but they, probably because they're not given the time for like the punchlines to land, but like the Bellas yesterday, on Raw rather, on Monday, they're not very good at like the, I don't want to do this in this hometown of your, I don't want to do this in your local sports team. Like, they just say, like, well, let's not do this in this town. And it never gets the same crowd reaction as when Elias does it, of when it's just like, by the way, your local sports team is rubbish.
Yeah, because they go straight into the next line. Or, they're like, part of their gimmick and delivery is that they talk over each other, or they're very quick because, you know, they're best friends and everything. They natter. But, yeah, like I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, we would be terrible at getting beat. I do like their Iconic, which they did.
Superhero pose,
Lana came out.
Yeah, Lana came out and said it's a happy Lana day, and then Carmella comes out for a dance break, and then Zelina Vega throws her into the ring, a brawl breaks out.
Where did Vega come from?
She ran out from the back.
Okay, because I only realised she was there when she was in the ring standing tall near the end. Where did she come from? Because I tuned out of this segment because it was awful.
This was your final build.
It was an embarrassment. Like, no wonder all the women are annoyed that they're all been relegated to this battle royal.
80% of the WWE roster, more or less 80%, that's a rough guess, are in that battle royal. And as I said in the review, they're just going to get overshadowed by the nostalgia acts.
Yeah.
Nostalgia acts that WWE have done nothing to promote other than say their names on commentary. Like, they've done zero build for this to even get you excited that there are going to be nostalgia acts in this. Like, they were talking about this on Wrestling Observer Radio. This is Medusa, Alundra Blaze's first match since 2001. She hasn't wrestled since WCW closed its doors in 2001. And she is just in this match. And there's been virtually zero mention of that.
Yeah, like, where's the video packages building up these returning legends?
Absolutely. Like, you've got the footage.
Yeah.
Just take some time out to edit them together. It was this was bad. And Asuka stood tall at the end. Who could possibly care? Asuka and Naomi had a dance-off during Mixed Match Challenge. That'll put butts in seats. And then...
It was just, like, when Asuka threw out Vega... Even though this wasn't a battle royal match, it was meant to be a tag like that, just Thanos'd away. And her music hits, and Asuka's there like, da-da-da, oh, look at me, that I'm nibbling something. I was just like, this is embarrassing.
It's so
I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for me. I'm embarrassed that they put this on. It's just like, come on.
Here's a simple idea. Here is a really simple idea you could have done. Asuka versus Ember Moon. At Evolution, finally Ember Moon looking to get that win because she never beat Asuka. She never beat Asuka in NXT, and then she won the belt, which made it when Asuka vacated it. So you could have actually had, a storyline for Ember Moon where she really wants to beat Asuka. It's been the crutch on her shoulder ever since she came into this company. She's never been able to defeat Asuka and build up a rivalry between the two, a cross brand thing to do it at Evolution. But nope, they're just both in the battle royal.
And
no one will care. Shane McMahon came out next to talk about the World Cup.
Oh, God. What up, Newark?
Yep. And he says it's the World Cup to determine the best in the world. The crowd started chanting for CM Punk. This was the only thing I really liked about the segment. And he just went, I don't believe he's in this tournament.
I wish he would. Duly noted. So there was a report from PW Insider last week that said Shane McMahon's cameo return for SmackDown 1000 was actually his full return to TV, and it'll be factored into the storylines and stuff going forward. And I was like, oh, that's a shame, because Paige has been doing a really, really good job. Like, she's a great general manager. And last time Shane and Paige were together, there was a weird sexual undertone to it that
Where
didn't
was
work
Paige on this show.
Well, so that's how they get round it. They take away one of the like the best authority figures they've had in years to replace it with Shane McMahon. Like, this was reeked of nepotism. Like, what? He's not a good character.
I genuinely thought this was setting up something. I was like, why is Shane out here to talk about the World Cup? And he's going, like, someone from the blue brand is going to win it. Perhaps it'll be the Enigma, Jeff Hardy. And I'm like, it's the charismatic Enigma, you dolt. But I genuinely thought this was here to set up something, because there was a match between, I've written here, Jeff Hardy versus Shane McMahon. You can tell how much I care about this. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. And I thought maybe they were going to build into, heaven forbid, a Randy versus Shane feud.
Yeah, like have Shane McMahon at ringside.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought they were doing. And then Shane Thanos'd away.
Or like maybe Shane's got the crown jewel trophy. Like, hey, look, here it is. It's ridiculous.
They haven't got that made yet. Yeah,
look at it, because you're never going to see it in a couple of weeks again. And then I was just like, what have you done with Paige? Where is she? I want her back. And where's Samoa Joe? And where's Nakamura? And where's Luke Harper? And where's all the people I like?
Well, instead, you got Jeff Hardy versus not Shane McMahon. You got Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. And the crowd were just shockingly quiet. This was the most pedestrian, autopilot. You know, we were talking yesterday about like looking through the curtain, seeing how loud the crowd are, how busy. I was like, well, we've already got their money. That was this match. No effort with both guys. I mean, Jeff did a swanton onto the floor, I guess. But it was just zero effort, zero emotion. It was a pointless match with zero consequences for a tournament that has even less consequences. This was a dreadful ending to this show. And now all I could think of was just like Evolution's this Sunday. This Sunday. And this is how you're ending this show, is with Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy.
It's God, it was bad. It's just like the last time these two saw each other was Hell in a Cell. So not actually that long ago.
About less than 30 days.
Yeah, like four, five, 6 weeks. And that wrote Jeff off television. And for weeks you've been saying, oh, it was Randy's heinous actions that wrote Jeff off television.
Why would you have a match with Randy Orton? Didn't you see Jeff Hardy hasn't been seen around these parts? Then he just came back.
In reality, it was Jeff Hardy's own recklessness that wrote him off TV because he tried that splash through the table. But then it's like, okay, so you're going to have this match. I'm done with this feud, but you're going to put it on. Like, surely build it up as a big blood feud revenge thriller. But no, like, the bell rings and they just go into, like, a normal wrestling match. Where's Jeff running wild on Orton? Where's the bully Orton getting some like, you know, recompense from the guy he's been tormenting and rode off TV for a couple of weeks? It's just... Yeah, it was like you said, it was so... I mean, I even got the impression near the end of the match that Randy Orton was annoyed with the crowd for not being more into it. Like, you know when... Because Randy's a bit spoilt sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, like, definitely back in the day, he would throw tantrums in the ring if stuff didn't go his way or there were botches. He's gotten a lot better at it. But I saw a glimpse of that near the end of this match, and I thought maybe it's because he's blaming the crowd for this rubbish show that WWE had put on, and now this rubbish decade out of date match that we're seeing now. It was bad.
And to your point as well, of the, it's bad enough that WWE booked this match, or SmackDown booked this match, in terms of like, well, you just had this, like, you know, killer feud a couple of weeks ago that I was meant to have written Jeff Hardy off TV, but neither of those two worked any of that into this match. Like, they may as well never have had that feud. Because, like, nothing they did in this was, like, really referencing...
It was a bit of low back.
Yeah, like a little low back. But even then, it was like... and then he moved on. It was a really damp ending to this. And, like, I mean, I gave this show Ellsworthy in the SmackDown review. A pathetic Ellsworthy is the way that I put it. But actually, after doing it, I suddenly started to think myself, I was like, maybe this really was a smack in the face. This was a really, really bad show. And the only reason I don't think I would have given it a smack in the face is that I don't... like, for me, if it's to be the worst rating possible, it would have to be really damaging to someone.
Yes.
I don't think it was anything on this show that was really damaging to anyone. Everyone's flattened out, but I don't think anyone was really, like, you know... no one could come back from it. So I do think it's, like, a low Ellsworthy, maybe even a high smack in the face.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for smack in the face.
Well, I think you're totally...
Which is the lowest rating, 1 out of 5. Because, and I agree with you, that's how I rate things. There has to be something absolutely terrible on the show, like really damaging, and nothing else good, really, for it to get that rating. And for me, underselling Evolution in this way was just an embarrassment and reprehensible, really. Mm-hmm. I think again, it just shows that Evolution is a gimmick pay per view.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And like, it is a gimmick pay per view. They should have made a real effort to make you convince everyone that women's wrestling is something that matters, which it does. But really, they've it's just exposed their own true feelings on it, where it's just like a little make good for PR.
That's it. Yeah, it's a PR exercise. It's the sort of thing, because the people that they're doing this PR for aren't going to watch the show. They're not looking into the show and see all the storylines leading into it. They're just going to look at WWE's press release of, we've done an all-women's pay-per-view, and they'll be like, God, that's really good. That's very good. We want to be involved with this company then, because they're doing a lot of progressive stuff.
Yeah, I'll write up an article for CBS Sports, yeah. You know, that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. That's all this is for. Like, it's not for wrestling fans. It's not for the women in the company. It is literally just so they can get some good PR, which they're in sort of dire need of at the moment. And it's a real shame. It's frankly embarrassing, and they really should be ashamed of themselves. I think it's awful.
So we went from I gave it 5 out of 5 Raw yesterday. Very rarely done. I've done it twice in the last couple of weeks. I think Raw's been on an absolute storm recently, and SmackDown has been woeful.
Yeah, it was bad.
This was the worst possible rating.
So someone actually explained one of the jokes in the outro of yesterday's podcast.
Because there were a few weird ones there. I mean, I got them all. I just thought they were contrived. Or was it the last one we didn't get?
It was the one about the hand that we didn't get.
Right.
So thank you to Christina Clark on Discord, who said, in the outro, one of the jokes was about fingers. Phalange is the scientific word for one of the bones that makes up the finger.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so that requires some real like inside baseball knowledge in order to get that joke, which is probably why it went over our heads. But we have got this joke in from one of our long-running email inners.
How
jumping
long is
the
this
smark
joke?
Well, it should take us the rest of this
okay,
outro,
okay.
I think.
So ooh, usually we do one-liners. This
yeah,
seems...
well, he even says this one's fairly long. That's what she said. But here goes. A frog goes into a bank to get a loan. He walks up to the teller, who is wearing a name tag that says WAC. She's pretty startled, as one would be in this scenario. Hello, says the frog. I would like to take out a $5,000 loan. The teller is confused, but decides to be kind. What's your name? She asks. Kermit, replied the frog. Kermit the Frog is a puppet. You aren't Kermit the Frog. I was named after him. Mrs. WAC, getting more and more confused by the second, asks, what do you need a loan for? The frog replies, for a family vacation. Who's your family? Inquires Mrs. Whack. Well, my mother is named Matilda, and she's a frog, but my father is Mick Jagger. Mrs. Whack has had enough at this point, and she goes to her manager. There's a frog outside who wants a loan. The bank manager, not really paying attention, tells her to give him a loan, so she goes back outside. Do you have any collateral? She asks. Yes, replies the frog, and he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a shiny pink toy elephant. Mrs. Whack, frustrated, goes back to her bank manager to get his attention. Paddy, what do you want? He asks. There's a frog out there who wants a loan, claims to be the son of Mick Jagger, and has given me this as a collateral. And it pulls out the elephant. What even is this? She exclaims. The bank manager examines it, turns it over a few times, and says, this is a knick-knack, Paddy Whack. Give that frog a loan. His old man's a rolling stone.
I didn't think that's when the punchline was coming, so it was even more disappointing when it happened.
This in from AJ Wild. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and El Fegador.
I don't feel well.
Love the podcast and everything you're doing with the channel. Just become a $10 pledge hammer to get even more. I have a question about progress. Having watched the main event from Wembley, which I would say is easily in my top 10 match of the year, I want to get properly into the promotion and wondered where I should start. Stay swapped from Alex Wild.
Oh, okay. Wow. I can't really answer that, actually, because when I was really following it avidly for a couple of years, I imagine that's when the production values wouldn't have been as good.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely improved a lot now. So I guess there's two points which are widely celebrated that you can go in at. You can go in from chapter 1 through to chapter 20, which is when I lived through it, which is the whole Jimmy Havoc book Jimmy, he comes in as a baby face, has a couple of great hardcore matches, and then he turns heel and he has this excellent run. And oh my God, some of those nights, some of those shows were just some of the best hotshot booking I've ever seen. Like, you know, you'll have essentially someone winning Money in the Bank, cashing in their Money in the Bank, heel turn, and then having to get pinned by the oh, it's just insane. So that's great, and it ends quite nicely at chapter 19, I think. And then the other one everyone talks about is the rise of British Strong Style.
Mm.
So if you find out where they first started to come to prominence.
Also, if you watch the early days, you get to see the original version of the Progress Championship, which looked like Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah, so we all used to chant Nazi stuff. Nazi stuff. And then they said, please don't. Like, you can chant anything you like. So we all started chanting Jimmy Savile, I believe. and then he said, "So, but please don't chant that. Because it's just like, we want to put this on a DVD and it doesn't help us. And everyone was so well behaved and they never called it that.
Well,
afterwards.
Don't have a championship that looks like a Nazi staff.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And the tag team belts used to... People thought it was
goofy. There was a big shield, like half of a shield.
Yeah, like a yin and yang shield. Yeah. And each member of the tag team champs would have one, put it together.
Yep, yeah, form Voltron. Well, let's end off with a small joke from James, from a Pledgehammer, J.J. Dillon, in fact. James J. Dillon. What is the difference between a chickpea and a garbanzo bean?
I mean, I don't know what the second one is.
Well, I've never had a garbanzo bean on my face.
That's good.
But that is all we've got time for on today's show. Thank you all for your correspondence, your jokes, and the amazing presents from Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins. We'll be back. Actually, we're going to be back later on. I mean, me and Laurie will be back tomorrow for the NXT review, but we'll also be here on Thursday for the Evolution predictions. Mm. And then we'll be back on Saturday with the... usual magazine show, yes, that's the word I'm after. And you and website writer Andy Datson will be back on Monday for the Evolution wrap-up show and review, which I'm sure there'll be so much to talk about.
So yeah, and set your phases to disappointment, because it's Andy. It's his first time.
That is all we've got time
for. Don't know how he's going to be.
Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.